My name is Mike Morgan.
Thank you for taking time to study God's Word with us. The title of our message this morning is Moths and Rust. Our text, Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21. This morning we continue our discussion of the Sermon on the Mount. According to Jesus, the righteousness that exceeds involves the proper attitude towards earthly wealth. Note the contrast in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Jesus said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures," and then he says, "But lay up for yourselves treasures." It is natural for man to want to possess. This is a part of our human nature. Jesus does not forbid the laying up of treasures. Having money is not a sin. But piling up worldly wealth for worldly purposes is condemned. Christ is trying to help us to understand that the glories of heaven are far more valuable than all the riches of this world combined. Jesus said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth or rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal." There were two areas of wealth in the first century that people coveted: clothes and precious metals. Remember Achan in Joshua chapter 7, verses 20 and 21. "And Achan answered Joshua and said, 'Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I have done. When I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. And there they are, hidden in the earth in the midst of my tent with the silver under it." Clothes would be destroyed by moths, and precious metals would rust or tarnish. Their houses were made of such materials that thieves could easily break through and steal. Solomon said, "Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle towards heaven." Proverbs 23, verse 5. Should Christians give their hearts away to the things of the world, which in time will decay? Should God's people trust in material things that at any moment could be taken away? The answer is no. Jesus said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moths nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal." How do we lay up treasures in heaven? Well, by loving God with all of our heart, soul, and mind, Matthew 22:37, and obeying His command. Jesus said, "Sell what you have and give alms. Provide for yourselves bags of money which do not grow old, and treasures in heaven that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys." This is a good commentary on how we lay up treasures in heaven. Christians should regard that which they own as God's and not their own. They are only stewards of God. This does not mean that the Christian is to give up everything they have to those who are lazy, wicked, and not trying to serve the Lord. Christians use what they have to glorify God and further His kingdom. In other words, good works become the means by which we possess things in heaven. Not works of merit, but faithful service to God. Franklin Camp suggests this test. Suppose we write down on a piece of paper what we are doing individually as Christians, the activities that are a direct contribution to the kingdom of God, and total it up. On the other side of the paper, write down the time, effort, and energy we put into activities of this world and add that up. where would the balance be? Which side would be the greatest? My friends, that is a sobering thought that gets down close to where each and every one of us live. Suppose we were as interested in possessing things in heaven as we are in possessing things on the earth. What kind of activities would we be engaged in? Suppose those of us who are Christians were as active, energetic, zealous, dedicated, consecrated, and motivated for the things of the kingdom of God as we are for the things of this world. What do you think would happen to the church? How full would this building be with faithful Christians who demand the truth be spoken in love? Jesus is teaching us that how we use the things of this world, including our God-given talents, will be the means by which we lay up treasures in heaven. Well, listen, preacher, God understands why I don't do anything to help the local congregation. No, He doesn't. If God does not punish me for not using my God-given talents to help this congregation serve Him in this community, then He will have to apologize to the one talent man who He cast into outer darkness for doing the same thing I am doing. Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. The real emphasis in life is doing the will of God, practicing our righteousness to be seen of God. When our righteousness is approved by God and not done to be seen of men, then we are making a deposit in God's heavenly bank over yonder. Jesus said, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." The heart is spoken of in Scripture as the seat of affections, thoughts, feelings, desires, and aspirations out of which flows the issues of life. Proverbs 4, verse 23. If we are spending our lives and energies on earthly things, pursuing the things of this world, then our lives are not what God wants. We cannot spend all of our time on earthly things and say that our hearts are with God. You can tell a person's love and interest by looking at their treasures. Whatever that treasure may be, money, boats, houses, etc., that is where our heart lies because that is where our interest lies. How can our treasures be in this world and go to heaven when we die? Well, the answer is, you can't do it. Says who? Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. In order to go to heaven, our heart has to be on heavenly things through faithful obedience to His Word. Is that where my heart is this morning, or is my heart somewhere else? Is my heart tied to the things of this world? If so, Jesus said, "Heaven will not be yours." H. Leo Bowles said, "No investment can be found on earth so safe, so permanent, or that pays so great dividends as laying up treasures in heaven. It is the only investment on earth that will pay dividends in heaven." In order to go to heaven, our treasures must be in heaven. If money is the topic in verses 20 and 21, and money is the topic in verse 24, then money is the topic in verses 22 and 23. This helps us to interpret what is a difficult passage for many. Jesus says, "The lamp of the body is the eye." The eye allows images inside the body. The eye is to the body what the sun is to the universe in the daytime, or a lamp or a candle is to a house at night. If therefore your eye is good or single, your whole body will be full of light. The word single means steady, devoted to one object, not confused as a person who has double vision. If the heart or gaze of the soul be good, single in its love of God and the things of God, then one is filled with light, goodness, righteousness, and truth. Christians see money as a tool to help further the Lord's work and to meet their basic needs, not to stockpile and consume on their own lust. Does this mean we cannot enjoy the finer things in life? Not at all. But the things of this world do not compare with the glories of heaven. Jesus is saying that there must be the proper focus in life and perspective of life. You know, years ago, cameras were not automatic focus. Until you focused it, everything would look fuzzy. Have you ever had your glasses fog up? You cannot see anything until you clean them off. Christians today must see what is truly valuable in this life. How do we see life? What is our conception of life? What does this life consist of? We live in a world that is violating every commandment of God, provoking Him to anger. Our society is thumbing their nose at God, daring Him to punish sin. When the attitudes of the Beatitudes direct our lives, we will see things clearly and come out from among them and be a separate people. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17. When the Beatitudes direct our life, we will be salt and light to a lost and dying world. Jesus said, "But if your eye is bad or out of focus, diseased, your whole body will be full of darkness." Darkness in the Bible represents sin and ignorance. If the heart or gaze of the soul be evil, full of envy, covetous, then one's soul is filled with darkness, selfishness, wickedness, and falsehood. Remember, Jesus is talking about laying up treasures. He who lays up treasures upon the earth has an evil eye, but he who lays up treasure in heaven has clear vision, and the whole body is full of light. When we see life clearly, then we will have the attitude of Job when he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Job 1, verse 21. "If therefore the light that is in you is darkness," Jesus said, "how great is that darkness?" Seeing things from a wicked point of view, one grows darker and more evil. One may start out with clear vision, but it can become dimmer and dimmer until it is full of evil, greed, and sin. Wealth and riches cannot bring earthly or spiritual happiness. Just ask Solomon or the prodigal son. Wealth, earthly honors, and fleshly gratifications are short-lived and deceptive. They rob us of true wisdom and true godliness, and leave us to perish forever in eternal darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus said, "No one can serve two masters." This is a truism. Both God and Satan require different things from their servants. God requires total loyalty and obedience. Satan requires compromise. Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind." Matthew 22, verse 37. Satan says, "Go ahead and violate God's word. You will not surely die." Genesis 3, verse 4. No one can obey two contradictory or opposite commands. If a servant obeys one master, he must disobey the other. The very act of obedience to one is disobedience to the other. The one who has a clear eye is serving God. the one whose eyes are darkened by sin, are serving Satan. Mammon stands for the riches of this world. One cannot trust in wealth and trust in God. One cannot serve God and lay up treasures upon the earth. There are people who are able to become rich, perhaps because of wise investments or inheritance. But in every society, to obtain a lot of money, people have to do a lot of work, overtime, weekends, often at the expense of their health and family. Very few people will say they love money and hate God. Everyone says, "I love Jesus." But do they? Why is it that I cannot attend worship because I'm working or too tired from having worked all day? On the day of judgment, will God accept the "Lord, I was too tired to attend services" excuse? Certainly not. What we love is what we give our devotion to. Proverbs 20 verse 20 says, "A faithful man will abound with blessings, but he who hastens to be rich will not go unpunished." The eye that longs for the things of this world will perish with them. If the eye is allowing in the light of God's word, then the soul will be full of God's truth, and the heart will reflect the clear, bright teachings of God's word. The lesson here is this: our values must be correct so that our spiritual vision may be correct. A proper attitude towards spiritual things is vital to having the proper relationship with God. This is what life is all about. James asks the question, "For what is your life?" Jesus answers it right here. There is a danger that we will lose sight of what life is all about if we do not grasp what Jesus is saying in these verses. Now, remember Jesus said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal." Open your Bibles to James chapter 5. In this section, James addresses the subject of materialism. He wants his readers to have a proper perspective on material things. Here are people who were surrounded by riches, and they have not been careful as to how they obtained and used them. James says in verses 1 through 3, "Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you, and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasures in the last day." He says, "Come now, you who are rich, weep and howl for the miseries that are coming upon you." James tells these wicked rich that they may as well go ahead and begin to weep and howl because of the hardships and distresses coming upon them. All of their wealth cannot protect or deliver them from the coming miseries. In fact, there will come a day when that person will sell everything they have for the knowledge that their sins are forgiven and they're going to heaven. According to Scripture, earthly wealth and fame, apart from faithful obedience to God, is wicked and worthless. He says, "Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasures in the last day." Their wealth is symbolically described as worthless by the terms corrupted, moth-eaten, and corroded or cankered. Instead of helping them in God's coming judgment, the rust of them will actually be a witness against them. They have piled up all these treasures for the last day. They were not going to continue enjoying their riches because these people were living in the last days of the Jewish nation's existence. They piled up treasures for the Romans to take when they destroyed the Jewish nation. It is not a sin to be rich, nor a shame to be poor. A rich man may be a good man, and a poor man may be one of the most corrupt characters on earth, and vice versa. Riches are wrong only when they hinder one from trusting in and obeying God. Paul said, "Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in the uncertainty of riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy." 1 Timothy 6, verse 17. Jesus said to his disciples, "How hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God." And his disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said to them, "Children, how hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God." Mark 10, verses 23 and 24. John, in his letter to Gaius, indicates how safely rich one may be. Look at 3 John, verse 2. "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." So long as one's soul prospers, the more of this world's goods one possesses, the greater potential for good. Riches are evil only when they impair the soul's health and become thorns which choke out the word of God. Luke 8:14. Many today have the attitude of the Laodiceans who say, "I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing," but do not know that in God's eyes they are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Guyon Woods said, "Men and women may appear in public in the most dazzling garments. They may be clothed in the most alluring and attractive fashions in the eyes of men. But in God's sight, these dashing symbols of wealth are already moth-eaten and tarnished. These garments must inevitably suffer destruction by moths and the body which they cover by worms." Mark 9, verses 43 through 48. The destruction which all such perishable materials eventually suffer is a figure of the ultimate destruction which shall come upon all who improperly use earthly wealth and are not rich towards God. If this is true, and it is absolutely true, then how foolish it is for one to focus on amassing treasures on earth and neglect so great a salvation. It is a blessing for us to study God's Word with you.